Holy One, may your voice be heard in this place through my words or in spite of them. Amen. So, the most famous quotation in English is, to be or not to be. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them. There, that's my only chance to play Hamlet. It's one of the most famous quotes, one of the greatest pieces of English literature. Will Shakespeare knew whereof he spoke. He wrote knowing there are two great questions for human beings. Will I be? And who will I be? Have you ever woken to hear the birds singing? When I say it like that, it sounds so wonderful, so pastoral. We know that most of us woken by the birds singing at 4:30 in the morning may not think it's wonderful. In a small cabin in the woods in Kentucky, in a place called Gethsemane, a man was woken at 4:30 in the morning by the birds, and since he couldn't go back to sleep, he wrote that each morning God awakens the birds and calls them to be birds. That was Thomas Merton. Now, if I were a bird, I would just try to be a bird, fly, sing, eat, feed little ones, but I'm human, and so I'm confused. The world keeps telling me different things, like Moses. Now, if this was a TV show, there would be a little montage, you know, the story up to now, so here it is. Moses was born, a Hebrew slave, who was supposed to be killed at birth, but his mother and his sister hid him in a basket on the water, and the Egyptian princess found him and raised him as her own son, brother to the Pharaoh. But then Moses found out who he was and murdered an Egyptian soldier to protect a slave, and then he ran away and became a goatherd and married a Midianite woman, and did I mention that he stuttered? So Moses does not know who he is. He was born a Jew. He was raised an Egyptian. He is a murderer. He is a goatherd for his father-in-law. He has no longer any family, money, or wealth of his own, and his future is uncertain. And not only that, but he's weird. Now we know this, because when he sees a bush burning in the wilderness, he doesn't do the things normal people would do, like A, run away, B, try to put it out. And when the bush starts to talk to him, the first thing he does is take off his shoes. Not only does God speak to him from the bush, God tells Moses he has a mission. He must go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to release the Hebrew slaves. And Moses asks these questions that all of us really want to ask. Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And though it doesn't say it in the story, you can imagine him thinking, I'm a murderer after all. My brother, the Pharaoh, hates me. Who am I to go to Pharaoh? And then he asks, who am I that I should go to the Israelites and lead them? And again, we can imagine him thinking, I'm not really an Israelite. I'm an Egyptian, and the Israelites don't know me. And besides, I stutter really badly. And each time God answers only these words, I am who I am. Or you could translate it as, I am and I will be there. And one of the famous Jewish translations translates it that way. And then Moses asked the question that we would probably ask when a voice speaks to us out of a bush, who are you? Actually, he asks, what's your name? And what he's really asking is, which God are you? Because he was raised an Egyptian, remember? And 4,000 years ago, Egyptians had many gods. And if a voice speaks out of a bush, surely it's got to be a god, right? Ra, god of the sun, Amit, devourer of the wicked, Amun-Re, the king of the gods, Anuke, goddess of war, Baal, goddess of thunder. Instead, though, God answers in Hebrew, I am what I am. And this bit is really important. Hebrew and English are really different languages. English has many tenses. The present tense, I am hot, you are cold, or maybe not. The past, I was young, you were young. The future, I will be older, you will be older. English and French have tenses like the future conditional and the past conditional. I would have if I could have, and many others. But Mandarin and Hebrew are much more similar. In English, in the past tense, I could say, I ate the orange. But in Mandarin, I need to say, yesterday, I eat the orange. Hebrew has two tenses, the past and the present slash future, the complete and the incomplete, what's done, what is not yet done. God does not say, I was. God says, I am who I am in a tense that means not done yet. I am and I will be. And God says all those things in only four Hebrew words. I am what I will be there, I am who I am. And from that time forward, the Jews understood this to be the name for God. Christians also, but we got shortchanged. Yahweh is such a holy name that Jews usually don't use it. Instead, they use the word Lord. And the translators of most English and European language Bibles observed that convention. So if you look in the Bibles in front of you, if you look for the word Yahweh, you won't find it. But you may find the word Lord in capitals. So most European Christians lost the connection between the God who saved the Israelites from slavery, the Creator God who led the people through the wilderness and spoke to prophets, the one who inspired King David, Yahweh, the God that Jesus was speaking about. This great I am who spoke to Moses is the same God we worship. And when we sing, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, that's who we are praying and singing to. So there is my little gift to you. The name of God, I am, I will be, I will always be there. Probably not the gift you were looking for. It's not exactly the gift Moses was looking for either. And it left Moses with a question for himself. Who am I and who am I becoming? Will I become the hero, the leader, the prophet, the magician, the brother, the Jew that God is asking me to be? When Jesus went to school in the synagogue, and all Jews were taught the name of God, so all Jews knew the meaning of the word Yahweh. So in the passage from Matthew that Ian read this morning, Jesus says to disciples, who do you say that I am? And he's using the phrasing really deliberately, even though the disciples could take it as a casual question, because Jews are calling Jesus names. And so are the Romans, and so are others. Names like charlatan, crazy man, John the Baptist come back to life, Elijah the prophet come to life, traveling healer, revolutionary, terrorist. But Jesus asks very specifically, who do you say that I am? And Jesus used the phrase over and over in the Gospels in various forms, I am. And Peter answers, you are the Messiah. You are the one God promised, come to lead us to greatness, to show us the way to God. That's what Messiah means. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus makes them promise not to tell anyone he's the Messiah. And the disciples are left wondering at this man who uses the name of God to describe himself. But they are also left, just like Moses, knowing that they are called to be something more than they are today. When Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Each person must ask themselves, who am I? And each one of us must also ask the question, not just who am I, which may come to some very uncomfortable conclusions, as well as some wonderful ones, but also who am I becoming? Just as God answers Moses in a way that means God is not done yet, so we answer God that we are not done yet. We are still becoming. It is one of this great treasures of Christianity, this sense that it is possible to keep becoming more than we are now, that we can be forgiven our past and build a future, that we need not always be slaves, we need not always be angry, we need not always be the stuttering one wandering in the wilderness. It is our greatest treasure, and it has been the greatest threat to world order, that Christians won't stay in their place. We need not just suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, but by opposing, we may end them. We can be the voice of conscience in the world, the words of comfort, the heroes of our own corner of this place. We can stand up to the pharaohs. We can offer sanctuary to the hurting. We can become more than we can even imagine. We are not done yet. What we are called to is not a life of comfort, but a life of meaning. And for that life, we may have to change ourselves irrevocably. I may not be Moses or Peter or Miriam, but I can become the one who helps others cross the wilderness, perhaps. Maybe one of you will be a Moses or a Miriam. Aspire to it. Ask God for it. Listen. Give your life to becoming. Who am I? And though I'm tempted to say I'm Jean Valjean, who am I? I am the one who is called by God. Listen for the voice of God. Amen.